Now, class, I took upon the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 5 when he borrowed that ship. He sat down. I think sometime I could be more effective as a school teacher, teaching you in the school of ministry. I want you to turn back to John's Gospel chapter 10, and I want to read scriptures as prelude for this session this afternoon. In John chapter 10, there's a peculiar aspect of Jesus' ministry that we must recognize and realize and let become a reality to us in the aspect of our calling and our redemptive purposes in ministry. Remember that you're dealing with a redeemed aspect of life. It's not normal. It's supernatural. It's in the spirit realm. It's creative. It's powerful. And you have to know that and understand that to be able to function in ministry properly. Now, in school, in theological schools and various books you read, denominational setting, they will put you at a lower position by trying to be humble, but actually, class, it's stupid. It's stupid to put yourself below the position where God have placed you and not recognizing the empowerment that you have behind you because of the assignment that has been given you. That's very important. We're talking about value, worth. We're talking about being special. We talked about that in last class. This scripture can throw you if you're not a real student of the word, because it will reveal to you something that will keep you balanced. And the aspect of that God valued me enough to call me a God. Not the big G-O-D, but a G-O-D, because you're representing the big G-O-D. Very important. You have to know that for yourself. You have to know why this type of credential is placed on your ministry. You can't, in denomination and an organization and association, you're not going to be able to deal with this. That's why there has to be a certain amount of separation in order to function and prepare yourself, or in preparation to let God use you like he desire to use you. So I say some words there. I say separation, preparation, association, organization, all of those things, you have to make sure you separate them, that you won't be held at a lower ebb trying to be humble, trying to be meek. That's not meek. Meekness is accepting what God has said about you and walking in that. So, you know, we read that scripture on Moses, that God told Moses, I've made you a God to Pharaoh. Remember that in Exodus 7:1. We close with that. And then there's a powerful scripture we read in Exodus 19:5. I want you to reiterate and deposit, meditate, put these type of understanding and teaching in your spirit. Now here in John chapter 10, I'm going to start reading up above the verse, John 10, 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Now, he didn't make himself God. He was God. Jesus, in the 34th verse, answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And then he said, verse 35, if he called them gods, now that's a small g, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So you see, what make you a god is the word. See, the word is the very thing that makes you a God, because the Word is God in you, operating as God. Very important. You can look at that from every angle, because religiously, this is, you cannot fathom or comprehend something that is spiritual religiously. And you have to know that the divine backup you have, the divine backup you have, you have to know it to be able to function at the dimension and the degrees and in the dynamics that God wants you to function in. Don't let nobody strip you or take away from you the strength or the power or the glory that God wants you to have. All right, now listen, Claire. I'm flagging somebody off from doing something because it distracted me. And I'm just let's go further now. As you know that the scriptures make you gods, in other words, the anointing, the power, the backup, the assignment, the submission, the dedication, the reality, the revelation, the redemption, the resurrection power as a backup, all that's the Word of God, a rhema word, a live word spoken especially to you. These are the type of things that reveals the God nature on the inside of you. You have to know that. You have to know you have that. You have to know that miracles, signs, and wonders are available to you at all time in whom you represent. All right, now we'll take up further tonight and go into some other places. You are special. Everyone called by God is sent to the world. He's made a God to the world. And the world is expecting him to, the world is expected to listen to him or to her and to obey him or obey her. You are a God. This is the position of anyone who received the Word of God. Unto those in whom the Word of God comes, he called them God. Now, how are you going to be a God and not live right? How are you going to be a God and let Satan rob you of your speciality? Turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And we'll see something else there, class. Acts chapter 14. Remember, it was said of Paul and Barnabas, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of man. Look at that. The gods, from the manifestation and the implementation, applying of their ministry was so powerful that the people saw that they were operating beyond themselves, and they called them God. And in John, in Acts 14:11, it says here, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying, in the speech of the Lyconian, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Wow, that's a powerful verse. You see, it was so powerful. That's Acts 14:11. You saw it? That's so powerful. That is so powerful reference of the type of calling, the type of amplification that God placed on his ministers. And as they yield to his word and to his spirit and to his miracles and to his signs and to his wonders, functioning out of an excellent spirit, an excellent soul, and an excellent body, Daniel 5:12-6:3. Look what it said. Look what it says here. You are special. Everyone called by God is sent to the world. He's made a God to the world, and the world is expected to listen to him or her and obey them. You are God. This is the position of anyone who received the word of God. Those to whom the word of God comes, he called God. Now remember, it was said of Paul and Barnabas, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. After they saw their ministry, after they saw the spirit move and the yielding and the flowing and the power that was in their ministry, they recognized these men was God in the likeness of men. That's where you want to get your ministry at. In our religion and denomination, you're going to be able to do that. God says all his children are God. Look in Psalm 82. Look in Psalm 82, because you got to be convinced of this, because I don't know what your background in school, all the student, I don't know your personality, but if you have not had the right teaching and you come from a certain denomination and come to this school and you tune into this school and I go to talking like this, what am I? Is this a cult? What is this? See, but scripture backup will inform you, and as you meditate the scriptures, don't ever argue with the scripture. In Psalm 82:6, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. See, you're gods because you're children of God. That is powerful. So you are made to be distinguished. You belong to the upper class. You're not just different. I remember R.D. Thomas, he's gone home. I've had a lot of people had influence on my life. Dr. Thomas was a very well-dressed, well-groomed man and carried himself in a significant manner because he knew who he was. And that's what you're to be distinguished. You belong to the upper class, but not to be high-minded, but to recognize the high assignment and the big God that have sent you. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9 to get an establishment in that factor. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Listen to this. A royal priesthood and a holy nation and a peculiar people. Four things: chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. Now watch why you are that in ministry. That ye should show forth your own praises? No. The praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you haven't, listen to this, you have an unusual grace and impeccable abilities. Wow. You are a priest and a king. And your priesthood and kingly dominion is to be manifested on earth. You are special. Now that's why I'm to lift you in this school. Every student, you're not here by accident. God chose you to be in these classes. These classes are rare. These type of impartations are rare. These type of revelations are rare in ministry and in the church. So let me go over that again. I want you to sop that in. You have an unusual grace and impeccable abilities. Are you hearing me? You are a priest and a king. And your priesthood and kingly dominion is to manifest on the earth. You are special. So you won't be trodden upon in ministry if you see yourself special. Now this specialty has to be governed by the Holy Spirit, but yet it's real. You have to know this. You don't have to go around saying it. You just have to know it. In the Creator's eye, the entire world is not worth an exchange for your soul. You are of much value in the sight of God. You are a pearl of great price. You are so valuable that it cost God the blood of his only begotten Son to redeem your soul from perdition. You mean so much to God. You matter a great deal to his eternal purpose. So stop despising yourself. Stop letting Satan use you and despise you. That's what he's saying. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. This is so clear, the dignity of ministry, the quality of ministry that I want to build in this school, that I built for my own personal life, not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. See. Not on my own validation, but by divine appreciation that God have called me and want to use me to uplift people, love people, and bless people. People of shortcoming, people of weaknesses, people who have not recognized up to this point who they are. But we're to love them and to build them and to bring them and to bless them. That's our assignment. So here in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it's a powerful, for you are bought with a price. Look what it says next now. Therefore, what? Glorify what? Who? God where? In your body and what else? And in your spirit. Look what it says at the end. You have to get to the point that you no longer belong to yourself. You can't do what self want to do. Why? You have to answer the enemy and tell him, I belong to God. I'm special. I'm valuable. You're not going to use me no more. You have to have that point, because morals are so important. Morals are first on the agenda of ministry. You got to live morally right. You can't do it on your own effort. You can't do it on your own power. But there's a spirit in man, and there's a leading of the Holy Spirit, and there's an anointing. You can take the dunamis power, which is the resurrection, and keep your soul flushed out. Keep your mind flushed out. Keep your conscience flushed. Keep your imagination flush. Keep those things flush. God designed you and equipped you to do that. So here's to further. I wrote a note here. Discover yourself and recover your birthright. That's powerful. Discover yourself. All the student that's under me, whatever flaws you've been carrying, whatever failures you've been carrying, whatever falsity you've been carrying, in these classes, I expect the Holy Ghost to wipe them out. And I expect the reality of who you are to always be before you, that I'm bought by God and I belong to God. My spirit, my soul, and my body cannot be used by no other entity because I belong to God. Discover yourself and recover your birthright. That's what I'm saying. That's a demand I'm making on every minister here. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be smoking. You shouldn't be running women. You should be fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism. All of that stuff is a falsehood in your life. And to rediscover your birthright, and the power of God going to give you the ability to walk as you should walk. So here, watch this now. To further establish your great value, God declared, look what he declared in Zechariah 2, Look what God, Zechariah 2:8. You're going to have to feast your eyes on this. God declares, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Zechariah 2:8. You are the apple of God's eye. You are his beloved. Therefore, cover yourself and recover your birthright. Because you are peculiar and you have a peculiar mission on earth. That's Zechariah 2:8. Then I'll take you to another scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, it says, every man has his proper gift of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. Every man has his proper gift of God. Now watch what it said. So you're special. There is a proper placement for you on earth, made possible by the proper gift that is in you. You have a special mission on earth. You're sent on a mission by Jesus Christ. Even as the Father has sent him while he was on earth, Jesus himself declared this. Now, I'm going to go over this because I don't want you to miss the power that this can produce in your heart and in your soul. Every man has his proper gift of God, all right? Or every woman, when you say man, talk about a woman too, 1 Corinthians 7:7. Now, there's a proper placement for you on earth, made possible by the proper gift that is in you. So you have a special mission on earth. Now, remember I told you earlier in teaching class, there's nobody can take your place. You're sent on a mission by Jesus Christ, even as the Father sent him. See, God sent Jesus while he was on earth. Jesus himself declared. Now, Jesus never forgot his mission. He knew what he was here for. In John 14:12, you read, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. In other words, he's saying, your assignment is the same assignment I had. Okay? And now just for record-wise, when Jesus was saying those things, he knew he had to die to pay the price that we could operate in resurrection power, or the power of the cross, resurrection power. We can operate in the power of his name. We can operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can operate in the power of his seated position. He knew all of those things were going to be available to us to carry out the work and the greater work. Jesus Christ has tasks for you to carry out. Remember that. He's the head of you. He's the head and you the body, right? There's no useless member in the body. No member of our physical body is without a function. If your teeth are removed, your entire body will not only be unable to feed comfortably, but your facial appearance is also likely to change, particularly when you smile. So everyone, member of the body of Christ, has a function of ministry. You are peculiar. I want you to write this down. I am peculiar with a peculiar function. I am peculiar. And we're going to look at Romans 12 and 2 verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Romans 12:4-5. Now, you sit here in these classes, or you sit, we're doing this thing viral, wherever you sit it in your home. God has an office for you to occupy and have endowed you with the gift you need, watch what I'm going to say now, for excellent in that office. For Daniel knew that. Paul knew that. So he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different of administration, but the same Lord. I'm reading the 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 6, 4 through 6. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now you see, I want you to understand that, class. I remember when I learned these three things. Gifts, administrations, and operation. Gifts, administrations, and operation. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. You're going to see it in that chapter. They're going to talk about the nine manifestations of the Holy Ghost, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning the spirit, special faith, working of miracles, gifts. There's nine of them. Nine. Prophecy, divers, kind of tongue, interpretation. I think I might have missed one. But just the idea is administration, let me see, gifts, administrations, and operation. See that? And the Holy Spirit in ministry has to be the head of the gifts. He has to be the head of the administration, and he had to be ahead of the operation. And I just noticed gifts, administration, and operation, all three are plural. All three are plural. And after that aspect of teaching, I'm going to make a statement that I pray in the years to come will echo in your soul and in your mind. You have all it takes. Okay? You are destined to be glorified in your calling, located and stay in it. Every calling of God is a high calling. Every calling of God is a high calling. Every placement is a high placement with the ultimate purpose of glorifying the call. Romans 8, 28, I quoted earlier in this class. Romans 8, 28 to 30, put that in your note. Romans 8, 28 to 30. And we know, let me emphasize something here. When you get a text, always know what the context is. Romans 8, 26, 27 is talking about praying in the Spirit. And there are three things I know, four things for know you find out every minister needs to know. The mind of the Spirit, the will of God, the love for God, and the purpose of God. In other words, you're called. Well, it's five because the calling is in there. So the mind of the Spirit, the will of God, the calling, the love of God, and the purpose of God must always be forefront in your life and your ministry. And it's found in these verses from Romans 8, 26 through 30. I want you to have all that, all those verses. I'll begin reading at the 28th verse. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And he said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, your ministry has glorification in it. The glorification is unto God. But you're not just anybody, you're somebody. You have to know you're somebody. You have to know you're not a substitute. You have to know the substance that God has placed in your life. So here's a point. Here's what the devil won't happen, but we're not going to let it happen. Because when you hear this, you're going to recognize something. Do not despise yourself. Do not despise your calling. Do not cross to someone else's lane. Stay in your lane. What God told you to do. That's why you see money coming. You see me profiting from prophesying from a financial perspective of prosperity. Well, when God gave me money coming, that's what he sent me out to do. That's what I'm doing. Don't let nobody call you off for what God told you to do, because they can't do it. Having located your calling, stay put there. Don't try to jump off to something else. And he says, and now this is, you have to understand who's a star, but until you become a star, in your own way, locating your calling and pursuing it is the beginning of a great future. Abiding in that calling leads to stardom. You're destined to be a star. Well, class, we're going to wrap it right there. That's enough. Take that, and we'll see you on the next section. We're going to deal with locating yourself by vision. We're going to give the importance of a vision in our next class. You're going to find out a vision is not a situation. You're going to find out a vision is not an ambition. You're going to find out a vision is not an impression. You're going to find out a vision is not imagination. You're going to find out a vision is not reaction. See, all of these things I'm going to deal with. You're going to find out vision is not confirmation from somebody else. You're going to find out vision is not association. You're going to find out vision is not natural inspiration or instinct or inspiration. You're going to find out that vision is locating yourself, taking heed to thyself, contentment, consistency, knowing your timing, all of this going to be placement by the election of grace, all of the things you can look forward to, and they're going to set your ministry afire. God bless you. See you next section.